Good morning, Reveal. Hey, good morning. Thank you, Pastor Marty, for giving me this opportunity to speak to the church family, you know, on a few things that God has blessed me with. You know, I want to take the time to really have a conversation with you guys, just as we would do on our Monday night regroup. You know, I want to start the conversation, you know, with a simple question, you know. Have you ever experienced God positioning you in a place where you would have never positioned yourself? For instance, you know, on a job that you didn't necessarily want, but you were given to do. Or how about in a regroup where you didn't feel comfortable because everyone in the group was younger than you, but you were surrounded by a bunch of new and great ideas? Or how about a class, you know, that you didn't sign up for, but you were placed in? You know, what was your reaction to that? See, looking back, you see that God was at work in that situation, though it wasn't what you were expecting or hoping for. See, the looking back part is what brought me to this. Here's a night after dinner. You know, we were sitting, we had dinner with the kids, and we were having discussions and about their day, you know, how was their day, and the kids and the conversation really got interesting. You know, it was colorful, it was exciting, I mean, it was hilarious, you know, and so I took out my cell phone and I wanted to capture the moment. But when I took out the phone, you know, everything pretty much changed very quickly. You know, the kids, they began to get agitated, jumping around, moving around, you know. So, I mean, it took roughly about 8 to 10 shots just to get to this. Frustration started to set in a little bit for me. You know, the funny moments started to quickly fade. You know, but as I was looking at the picture, it came to me as a life lesson. That's why it's titled A Life Lesson. It came to me, that, you know, if we hold our perspective right, you know, we can see how God is always working in and through us. See, what I initially looked as a monotonous moment of taking the same picture over and over again, it became an understanding of the graduating and gratitude process. See, it's an ongoing process of connecting with its ongoing process of getting to know and reflecting with Jesus throughout the rest of our lives. See, it's in these moments that we have the opportunity to see ourselves grow. See, for some, it's growing good habits or greater self-awareness, you know, and for others, it's better decision-making and grasping hold to some realistic next steps of becoming a better you. See, looking back, without me making a connection in gratitude, I would have continued down that path of becoming disconnected at the table with an attitude. You see, I'm grateful for what God has given me to share with you all about being plugged in at both ends. Over the past couple of weeks, our Monday night regroup has been studying through the book of Acts. And this study sparked some growth-oriented conversations. You know, these conversations challenged us to, through the perspective of, you know, how to connect with other people and to remain connected at the source. Now, today, I want to talk to you all along the subject line of always be connecting. Now, we all live in this device-bound society, you know, where we all have cell phones, we got tablets, we got electronic media, what have you, you know, so forth. See, some of these devices, they have extremely large storage capacities and a lot of potential, you know, to help us multitask and, you know, do creative things. But if any of these devices were to ever lose their charge, it becomes worthless. Now, think about it. Think about if you had to manage the battery life on this device from a single charge. It doesn't matter what all you have stored on it. if you can't get power back into this thing, it really becomes worthless. Now, on the other hand, let's say this power cord has potential to charge both of my devices, all of my devices, but disconnected is worthless. See, in this state, it'll never bring fulfillment. It always overpromises and underdelivers. Now, Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Let's read. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. You see, throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, we see that Solomon had access to unlimited riches. And he shows us all of his collections. But in the end, he was empty. Life, significance, and fullness is not measured by your collections, but by connection. So you can collect all the information you want in your life and on these devices, but without a connection, it's meaningless. Now, back to our regroup. See, as we were wrapping things up, study on Acts, I was struggling to connect my thoughts in our last group discussion. See, I found myself, trying to hold a thought while I was in the red zone. Or better yet, like my daughter would say, I got a red battery. Or I had a red battery. Now, just as everyone here has experienced over the last 8.5 months, some trying times, some draining endeavors, I've been meeting some challenging moments myself head on at work, trying to hold things together under all of the many circumstances, constraints. I found myself, short staffed in some areas, and I'm dealing with these hypothetical moments of what ifs throughout the day. But then, even at home, we had to make some adjustments, at home. With the kids, trying to get them involved in something and not just cooped up in front of the computer screen all the time. It brings me to this, Here we have Kanaya. Kanaya loves the game of soccer, and this is all she wanted to do. She's been playing it for a couple of years now, and we looked through the City of Surprise, and we found, they had soccer was open, and it was limited teams and things like that, but it was open and available. So we enrolled her in there. As you can see, she's a solid soccer player. Then Camille, on the other hand, we looked to see if City Surprise had, flag football. He's been playing flag football for the last couple of years, but this year, we decided to go ahead and give him a chance to do something different. Camille takes the flag, he takes the football, period, and we can see him at home. He's tossing the football in the great room from one side to the other, doing these one-handed Odell Beckham catches, and he really loves it. And he packs a punch. I felt a few of myself. But as you can see, he's here, he's punching it in. A week ago, these guys played for the state championship in Pop Warner Mighty Mites, and they won that title, he's really loving that game of football. And these are things that we had to do to kind of give them something, different in their lives. Now, one day, Pastor Marty, he reached out to me via text. He had texted me one day and he said, "What's brewing in you?" I paused, had It took me a day to respond, you know, but then, you know, I saw just how much we all needed to find encouragement to manage the season. Now, as I began to sit some things aside and focus on the question he asked, what's brewing in you? I then told him about the study that we were doing in our Monday night group on the book of Acts. And that's when the charging indicator kicked in. Now, in the beginning of the book of Acts, you know, chapters 1-5, we see how Luke records things that Jesus continued to do and teach by his Holy Spirit. Jesus took on in silence what we see as the trial of things. You know, he endured a lot because he was called to do so on our behalf. You know, he taught the disciples, you know, the kingdom of God and how he has come to restore it over the world. He called Israel to follow him. He was enthroned as king when he gave up his life through death in the resurrection. You know, he also promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, the promise of the Spirit, the promise of the Spirit is that God's presence will come and take residence upon his people in a new temple. Folks, we are that new temple filled with the presence of God to transform our hearts. Now, this new temple of Jesus' community is now where people encounter God's generosity and healing presence. Let's read Acts chapter 3, verses 2-8, but we're going to break it up in a few parts here. We're going to break it up in a few parts. We're going to do verses 2-5. Here it reads, "Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, 'Look at us.' The man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them." Folks, if we're expecting God to guide our thoughts, you know, we have to make room in our minds to focus on him clearly. Because God doesn't want to meet your expectation, he wants to exceed them. Now, in verse 6-7, we see, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong." We all will come to a point in our lives when life hits us with an interruption of some sort. Our action is to ask God to open our eyes to see them as an invitation. Because God doesn't have to wait for you to get there to bless you. Now in verse 8, we'll see, "He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God." Now see, this leads me to my next point. Cling to God's consistency. See, God has placed something unique inside of each and every one of us. You know, that's designed to magnify the love of Jesus within every situation. See, the evidence of the Spirit is always present. We all are given the opportunity to see how the Spirit of God moves in and through our lives, even when we are intimidated by or hurt by our own interruptions. See, the opportunities comes through structure. Now in Acts 6, verse 1-7, there's a lot of confusion going on due to the increased measure of new believers. They were coming and taking up resources, food. And in that verse, it reads, you know, their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. At the end of that verse, we see, you know, we see just how the smallest acts of obedience can set off chain reactions of faith in our lives. See, the priest made an adjustment to place themselves in position, in the right position, not just in position, in the right position to hear from God. But us, we have to understand. Now, we have to understand that establishing structure allows God to move in and through the areas of our lives that are being challenged. Now, the next opportunity comes through what we call the struggle. Here in Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15, we see how Stephen was faced with opposition after opposition and false accusation after false accusations from members of the synagogue. Now, in verse 15, let's read verse 15. It says, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. See, here we see that struggle does not represent the absence of God in our life, but the presence of God moving in our life. Now, I remember going through a few seasons of life where I struggled with being different from many, many things, many people, and so forth. See, I was either too short or too small or just not tall enough, you know? But then as I got older, the trajectory of my voice changed. And I was told that my voice was too intimidating. I felt like I couldn't win for nothing. But then I remembered this one time when I applied for this job with this company that I once worked for. I ended up turning that job down because I felt belittled in thinking that I wasn't a good fit for the position in which I was applying for. Now that hiring manager of that department that I was applying for, you know, he was a bit ticked off that I just turned him down, you know, and he had a few choice words and we ended the call. So he reached out to my manager at the time and was giving him his thoughts of me to my manager. And so, you know, my manager reached out to me. He gave me a call and said, hey, where you at in the field? And I kind of told him, hey, I'm out in the East Valley. And he said, I'm going to come out and meet you. I'm going to come see you. All right, cool. We met over at the Sonic up off of McDowell Road and the 143. Never forget it, just like it was yesterday. He pulled up, got out of his car, and he walks over to me. And he just started fixing my collar and he just comes straight out and he said, there's this little song I know. I'm going to sing it to you note by note. Don't worry. Be happy. Yeah, I looked at him just like you guys are looking at me right now. Like, Al, you can't sing. I'm like, I told him the same thing. Bro, you can't sing. And he looked me straight in the eye and he said, he doesn't know you. And from the looks of it, he's not that interested either. I stopped for a second, you know, and I suddenly realized, you know, the point that he was driving home to me was about the perspective that I had in front of me. See, your perspective in the struggle will give you the strength to persevere. Your connection to the source will give you the strength to persevere. Now, see, that encouraged me to the next opportunity. It comes through the stands. Now, let's look at Exodus 34, 29. It says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Folks, the way that you stand will changes when the presence of God is visible in your life. The way that you hold your life begin to look different to other people. So you begin to believe with a bold confidence, you know, in the presence of God in your life. And folks, it starts with a choice. A choice to continue to reveal God's consistent measure of grace in your life, you know, a choice to see that we're all given a personal invitation as our inheritance to experience the gift of the Holy Spirit and allow God to continue to do good work in our lives. See, God moving in your life may not always look perfect, but the perspective that you have of your situation allows you to do one of two things. You can either waste it or invest in it. See, we can waste or invest in the gift of trusting in the next step. Now, in Acts 9:32 through 43, we see that Peter lays down a good example of investing in his inheritance by trusting God in his next step. Now, in Mark 5:21, we see before that Peter saw how Jesus lived his life trusting God in his next step. See, in that verse, we read that Jesus raised a dead girl. He healed a sick woman. But it's for us to understand that some things will not be revealed to us entirely. And we will be presented with an opportunity to either trust God or stand still in our own disbelief. Folks, faith is only illuminated in the next step. Now, we can waste or invest in the gift of prayer. Now, here we see above anything else, the disciples asked Jesus how to pray. In Luke chapter 11, we see Jesus gave them an illustration of how to approach God in prayer. In Acts chapter 9, verse 40 through 43, we see how Peter invested in this gift as it was illustrated. But we must be mindful that God is always in control regardless of how things look and or turn out in the midst of our prayer. In many times of prayer that Jesus had, he went off and prayed alone. This was strictly to make a direct petition to God. Because prayer is more than a formula. It's personal and intentional. Next, we can waste or invest in the gift of giving people practical help. Here we see in Acts chapter 9, 41, it reads, you know, he took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. We see Peter extended his hand to help her up. See, sometimes when an individual has just finished going through something, you know, they may need a helping hand to get back on their feet. Now, see, that can come in the form of maybe a phone call to an old friend, you know, just to check up on them. It could be in the form of helping a neighbor do some yard work, change the oil, pick up weeds out of the yard and things like that, that kind of separates you guys. But you can continue to do things. It can also come, you know, in the form of volunteering at a food bank or at church. Or my favorite, just be patient with somebody that really gets on your nerve. The choice becomes ours to make that connection. Now, we can waste or we can invest in the gift of the importance of community. Our ability to perceive God's grace in our lives is directly tied to our ability to give him credit for the way he blesses and changes us. Here, we have regroups that we share this gift throughout the week. We do so when we attend. See, we prioritize the moments that we have together by being present. And then we connect. Here's where we put forth the effort to get to know people, not just within the hour, but outside of the group setting. And then we talk. We must be willing to share something each week and solidify what God is doing in your life. Next, we study. We spend the time putting forth the effort, doing the work, to learn what God is saying. As I look at you all today, I see chargers. I see people that are capable of connecting people to God's heart. But also, I see that some of us may have accepted the responsibility to be a charger, but we neglect the responsibility to stay charged. Let's be focused on the goal, like Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. And it reads, "I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have made it, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us forward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back." So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision and you will see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. As I bring this message to a close, my challenge, my charge to you is, you know, let's not end 2020 on 4% charge. Let's stay connected and keep connecting. Stay connected to the source and keep connecting other people to God's heart. Let's pray. Dad, thank you for preparing this church family heart with the understanding of staying connected, connecting people to you. Thank you for laying out the maturity in our hearts to stay connected at both ends to the blessings that you have provided and the purpose that you have prepared for us. We thank you in the midst of everything that's going on in our lives, with all the chaos surrounding us, we have your presence to focus on and the power of the Holy Spirit to stir up praise in our lives. You know, we thank you in advance for breaking the chains and the patterns that hold us bound from impacting this world wherever we go and in whatever we do. We ask these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Reveal. Go out and enjoy your Sunday and have a good day.